No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up, taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. This has relationship to the question about the fasting, because here are established sects, established denominations, established churches, whatever you want to think of it in the modern time. These are establishments. The disciples of John, they were sort of established, and they had been following John for some time. John had come before Jesus. And they, like the Pharisees, fasted because they were seeking something from God. They wanted to fast to show, God, I need you, not food. I need the Messiah to come and not to eat, right? We shut up our mouths. That's what fasting is about. It's about saying, I don't need food. I need something from God. That's ultimately what it is about. It's about, I will not eat. I will not indulge in those pleasures because I need something. More. Something is more important, and you're demonstrating the importance of what you seek by giving up something that is very important to the human condition, that we should eat. And so, they were honestly, why don't you do like we do? You know, you're not like us. And he says, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? You know, I mean, the bridegroom, being Christ, is here with them. They've, you know, the promised seed, the Messiah is come. So why, and he's saying in a parable form, well, so why should they be fasting? I'm here. You know, it's like as if Jesus were to return, would we then immediately take up a fast? When the bridegroom shall be taken from them, then they shall fast. There is fasting in the New Testament. Surely Paul and the other apostles talk about fastings. It's good to fast. There's no laws or set fasts in Christianity. Do it as you are led of God. But they fast, because they would be missing him. But while he was there, there was such joy in his presence, there ought to have been, that they should not fast. You know, as long as the wedding is going on, why should people fast? It's a feast. And then he goes into something. No man puts a piece of new cloth into an old garment. You can't put a new ministry, a new movement of God into an old one. Because the new one is of a different character. Like a piece of cloth, a new piece of cloth put into an old garment, you know, depending on the cloth, would have the idea is that it would have a tendency to shrink and to change, and it would pull away, and the tear in the garment would be made worse. But you take an old piece to put in an old cloth to repair it. That's how you do, right? But, and I say that, and I just remembered I always say, Jesus' point isn't how to repair a garment. No, that's not what he's trying to say. You know, you put new wine into new bottles, not into old bottles. Because, why? The fermentation process and the gases, the old bottles have already gone through, they've already gone through a fermentation process. They'd be like wineskins, you know, so it'd be like leather. So it would stretch and harden, and the old things would be hardened and fixed in a certain way. It's like tradition in churches and in sects of religion. They fall into their tradition. And if you put the new in there, the fermentation causes it to explode. I mean, what he says is very self-explanatory. I just say that in case you don't understand. You got to put something new into something new. You got to put something new into something that can grow, not something that is fixed. We want to be in our minds like new wineskins at all times, constantly being renewed by the Holy Ghost. That's the problem with denominationalism, because denominationalism by nature is an old garment. They fix everything. Everything is fixed. The doctrines are fixed. Should our doctrine in Christ be fixed? Yeah, if you got it right. But look at, you know, Luther found much wrong with the Catholic Church, and I find much wrong with Luther. You know, was he just all right and them all wrong? Am I all right? And the future all wrong? You know, I've no doubt that those, if the earth should go on, they could find something with me. Because this is for this time, and right now, what needs to be done and what needs to be changed in looking at the things that are in error right now, this is the focus. But in the future, if things were to change, there would be other things needed to be focused on. There'd be other things. I can't really, it's hard for me to fit into established churches. It's impossible, actually. Except maybe a church that was more flexible and ready to receive new wine. But sometimes people get so bogged down in their old ways, in their old traditions, that they can't receive that which is new. Because they say in their hearts, well, this is how I believe. Right? And if you say, but Paul, shouldn't our beliefs be solid? Yes, of course. The things of the doctrine of Christ are always the same. But sometimes people get fixed in other things. You know, days. They observe days and times, and they look in genealogies, and they look at things that are not profitable in the doctrine of Christ. But they get fixed in it because they feel that they're established in a truth in it. And then someone comes along and says, no, you know what? What's better is this. What's better is that let's get away from that, because that can be a stumbling block. And then the ministry that was there before says, whoa, why can't you just do like us? Be like us. And they look at it as pride, you know, because what do the apostles look at Jesus? You know, I mean, the disciples of John are wondering, hey, you know, why don't you fast? We fast. Why don't you be like us? We're curious. And not that they were necessarily thinking this, but, you know, you could see that in a person who was in an established faith, that they would look at something new, something different. You know, why don't you do church like we do church? You know, we have an altar, and we have a sermon, and we have this form of worship that is like everyone else. You know, and we think we're different, but you're not. The disciples of John were like the Pharisees in many ways. They were still following the old ways. Yeah, they'd heard the preaching of John, and they'd been lifted out of it. But then when Jesus comes, it's kind of hard to hear because they get established in their old ways. Not that it's impossible, but you can't put the old new ministry into the old ministry. You have to put it the new doctrine into a new ministry. Now, people can change, but the thing is, you know, denominations, it's very difficult to change. And it usually ends up in a rift. And I think of, like, I remember the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong's church. There are some of these people who believe in the Anglo-Israelim doctrine and a few other things. Sorry, I slur my words sometimes. Anglo-Israelism. They follow after the beliefs that, you know, the Jews are not the children of God so much as the British are, you know, the literal descendants of, I know it's crazy, but some people think that's now important.